Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Our legal docket is full. All over the country, we're representing pastors. But in addition to pastors and churches that are being burdened by these unconstitutional orders under the coronavirus pandemic, we're also continuing to litigate and work on so many other cases around the country. We're going to be talking about that on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, let's talk about, before we go into some of the cases that we're dealing with around the country regarding pastors and churches, one of the victories that we just recently got, it's a 3-0 victory at a state court of appeals in Florida. This involves a case involving Jacksonville, Florida, and a 2017 ordinance that added, quote, sexual orientation and gender identity, close quote, as protected categories under the Jacksonville Human Rights Ordinance, or the HRO. It's called Parsons versus City of Jacksonville. We filed suit in that case. It was dismissed twice by the lower court. We appealed it, and we got a 3-0 decision from the Court of Appeals. And, of course, it has shocked the people who have been the advocates of this that wanted to push this through. You know, the LGBT activist groups, they said, well, we vetted all this with our attorneys. Well, I guess you didn't vet it well enough.
That's right.
And then we got some that was on the council at the time that was part of the passage. I was completely taken off guard by the court's decision. Well, you shouldn't have been, because this was a unanimous, no dissent decision by the state court of appeals. So it really exposes the deception that Jacksonville tried to pull over the people by hiding the real intent of what they were doing. They didn't want to put this out front and center, that they were actually amending the ordinance with sexual orientation, gender identity. So they sort of tried to do some clever maneuvers to hide the purpose and meaning of what they were doing, so people would just, okay, it's not going to be something I'm interested in, and they wouldn't push back. And so that's how they got it passed. And we filed suit and said, no, you can't do that. That violates the law. And it took a long time, getting dismissed twice, as they claimed victory when it was the trial court dismissing us. And, of course, they shout all kinds of bad things against us and so forth because they're, frankly, mean people that are pushing this as they target individuals who don't agree with them.
Right, because this HR would force people to participate in celebrations of same-sex relationships. I'm sure it would force them to hire people that are LGBT, even if they have a Christian business, would force women and girls to possibly have men in their bathrooms because of the LGBT agenda. So this has a lot of ramifications with this HRO.
Yeah, it does. It has a lot of ramifications. The good news is that while we're doing all these other things, this was a case we argued at the Court of Appeals some many months ago and finally got a 3-0 decision in the midst of all of the litigation that we're doing.
Yeah, this has been going on for years.
Yeah, for quite some time.
I've been fighting this for a long
time. This is 2020, and that ordinance, as we said, goes back to 2017. That's
right.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been going on a long time. But I don't think the battle's over. I think they're going to try to come back and do something again. And so we'll continue. And they're actually even asking, questioning now, should they take it to the Florida Supreme Court? Well, be my guest. Go ahead and do it. But, you know, we'll continue to litigate and defend that and strike down that unconstitutional law or the law that violates the state law procedures. But in the midst of that, of course, we're also working and continue to work on other cases involving Sandra Merritt and so many others. But as far as pastors and churches, that just came out of the blue this year. It wasn't on our radar, nobody's radar, about the coronavirus pandemic. And so now we're working in nearly 40 states helping pastors and churches regarding these overbroad, unequally applied orders that restrict religious worship and religious gatherings. And in fact, there's so many inquiries that we have been now starting to do telephone conferences with lots of pastors.
Yeah, because they're really
hundreds
afraid.
Hundreds of pastors at a time.
They want to open, they want to be with their people together, but they're afraid because of these unconstitutional governor's orders.
And we also actually have a website. You can go to lc.org and click on the scrolling icon at the top about Reopen Church. Mm-hmm. But we also have a direct link to it, and it's called reopenchurch.org. reopenchurch.org. Very simple.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great recommendations for worship options. We have safety measures, just a lot of good information, plus a video that you did, you know, to help pastors and churchgoers with information about reopening their church.
Right, and there's also a church there that used our material, a mm-hmm. mega church in Texas, and there was a great article, by the way, in Fox News about the mm-hmm. Reopen Church, and they used our material and they expanded on it to their own needs and circumstances, and we've got that listed there as well. So what we've been dealing with are a lot of these orders, and some of them include, in fact, we just got one reversed in Kansas City, because in Kansas City, any religious gathering, the churches were required to record the names and contact information of anyone who was there for 10 minutes or more. And after a public outcry that was led by the information we put out there, mm-hmm. on May the 4th, Kansas City reversed itself and said, well, it's only voluntary. Highly recommended, but only voluntary for right. religious gatherings.
Oops.
Whoops. You know, they were going
to... We thought we'd slide that in.
Yeah,
but
no, we got caught, and they got a lot of pushback, and it came because of the information that came out of Liberty Council.
Rightly so, yeah.
Revealing what they were doing. And that got changed. We have a major case that we've talked about, and that is the Maryville Baptist Church case. Now, Maryville Baptist Church, listen to this, they got a lot of bad rap in the media. Even some Christians said, well, they're trying to hold in-person services, and they shouldn't be doing that. Well, the court actually gave a great decision on a Saturday, and they said Saturday afternoon, 3-0 decision in our favor, unanimous, no dissents. That is an amazing decision to come in on a Saturday mm-hmm. on behalf of our injunction pending appeal, and they issued an injunction pending appeal. They had great language in it. And the other thing is, it also, I think, not that the pastor was looking for defending his reputation or the church, but the church was defended in that order because mm-hmm. it says, look, the church and the pastor, they're not trying to have special treatment.
And they're not trying to harm anyone. They're taking safety precautions.
Yeah, they want to have social distancing and
mm-hmm. they had
sanitizing.
Options with their worship. Yeah.
They just want to incorporate in that as part of their worship. And you don't even allow them the opportunity, but you allow all these secular gatherings to go on with no problem at all. And the court said that unequal treatment is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. It was a great decision. And that's exactly what happened. But the issue that arose was a Easter service, and the state troopers never even went inside. There were some people inside, sure. It was a small group in a 700-seat sanctuary, very far spread out. We have photographs. But they went to everyone in the parking lot, including those people that were in the cars for the parking lot service, and they gave them notices of quarantine. Outrageous. Followed up by the governor's letter. And that was the issue that gave rise to this lawsuit.
Right.
And the court intervened on a Saturday. Amazing. And we have, of course, Virginia, where you have a pastor being criminally charged for having 16 people in a 293-seat church on Palm Sunday, 6 people over the magic number of Governor Northam. And as a result of that case, it caught the attention of the United States Department of Justice, and they filed a brief or statement of interest in our favor, got national media attention. But there's a lot of others out there as well. We have the case in Maine where they didn't even allow parking lot services, no parking lot services. You just have to flip online. Look, you cannot put a one-size-fits-all template over every church and denomination. Each church, we're talking about Protestant churches, mm-hmm. and different kinds of Protestant churches, some with high liturgy, different kinds of liturgy, low liturgy, no liturgy. You're talking about Catholic churches. You're talking about Jewish synagogues, houses of worship, and you're putting this one-size-fits-all over
right.
everybody.
Like our church in Florida that we represented, the pastor who was arrested for having a church service. I mean, they feed 900 families a week.
Yeah, that's and how do you do
online,
that online?
That's not an online ministry.
No, you can't do that online. You can't just show them a sandwich on a
right.
podcast.
Right.
You've got to be able to be there. and they've just made these unconstitutional restrictions on them. We have so many other cases that we're working on all over the United States. I can tell you what, that we are working into the evenings, we're working on the weekends, and there are so many instances of abuse. Pastors are laboring under these situations, threatened with arrest, amazingly, for having a worship service, even though they're doing social distancing and everything else to protect the health and safety of everyone who attends. Go to Liberty Counsel's website. I encourage you, I ask you to pray for us because this is a very critical time. If you want to support us, you can go to lc.org, lc.org. If you want to know more about Reopen Church, go to that website or reopenchurch.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Call us at 407-875-1776. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.